If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
The wait till next year is on. With us to talk Cubs this morning, the Tribune's Paul Sullivan. Good morning, Paul. I know, Paul, that you will find this hard to believe, but I'm very optimistic. And here's why. Starting pitching next season, Horton, Steele, Tyone, Boyd, Imanaga. I mean, who would have a better rotation than that?
And Javi Assad, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe some free agents. Who knows? I am sharing your optimism. probably not as much, but they do have to make some fixes, I think, on the team. But all in all, a very good season. And, you know, I mean, they lost to a better team. It was a close series. It was a good series. They had a lot of interesting and really exciting playoff games at Wrigley Field. So, after a long playoff drought, it really felt like old times again.
Am I going to have to be the pessimist in this group?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Well, let's start with the obvious, and you mentioned it in your column the other day as well about Jed. Kind of, it almost seemed like he ignored some of the huge problems that reared their ugly head toward the end of the season and into the playoffs, and certainly pitching was one of them. You have to assume that somebody is not going to make it the entire year the way that things go these days with these pitchers. And the fact is that it seems like he made this trade for Kyle Tucker, and in the process got rid of Cody Bellinger, and doesn't really seem like he has any intention of re-signing this guy.
Yeah, well, I don't. Do you want them to re-sign him at this point?
Well, no, I'm just saying, but they cleared the decks for no reason then.
Yeah. Well, it was a gamble, obviously. Cody was a very quality player, and if they had not traded for him, if they had not traded for Tucker, they would have been okay, I think, with Cody there instead. I don't know if the results would have been any different, but, you know, Tucker had a superstar quality. And at the start of the year, it looked like, it was the difference in the team. He was the middle of the lineup. He was, playing great in right field. He was starting all-star. And it just kind of fell apart in the second half. He suffered those injuries, the finger, the calf, never got his power stroke back. So I guess you can say in the end it didn't pay off, but, you know, that's the way gambles are. You know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. I don't expect them to sign him back. They, you know, theoretically they can, but I would imagine he's going to make the kind of money that Tom Ricketts is not going to pay. So they should be looking for another outfielder, and hopefully they'll spend on somebody.
You wrote in your column that Hap is back next year, but his future could be murky. Why do you think that?
Well, I just think that in terms of, he's getting a little older. He didn't have a good playoff. His season was kind of average, maybe a little below average for him. I know the Ricketts like him. I do see him being in the organization in the long run. Even if he does get dealt, he'll be back in some form, maybe on marquee or something. But, I just think they can improve in that position. There are places that they can, upgrade, and that's one of them. I think third base, Matt Shaw had a great defensive year, but he really didn't show much offensively, and especially in the playoffs, he didn't hit either except for that one game the other day. So there are some areas where you can improve, and I'm just looking at the few areas that they could improve in, and left field, third base, certainly. Carson Kelly, I think, will be back as catcher, but hopefully Miguel Amaya is healthy, and I think if he is, then he'll probably be the regular catcher next year.
Well, there's certainly two spots on the diamond that they're not going to have to look to improve, and they happen to both be on the right side of the infield. I mean, Nico Hoerner just kind of showed, to me, at least in my opinion, just the fact that he is probably the best ball player all around, you know, not maybe not power wise, but defense, running, the ability just to make contact. And Michael Bush had a breakout year.
Yeah, Michael Bush is their best player, I think. You know, PCA got all the attention, and rightly so. He's a very exciting player and great outfielder. But he tailed off in the second half, whereas Michael Bush kind of stood up, especially at the end in the playoffs, four home runs, three in the last series. That was really impressive. And Nico, you know, he was a hit machine the whole playoffs. He had that one error in the game one against the Brewers, but he made up for that. So, you know, it's really shocking when he does make an error. Mm-hmm. He's such a good second baseman. So, yeah, I think those two, Cade Horton, they do have a lot of upside with the young talent on that team. And as Bob said, getting Justin back next year in the rotation is going to help as well.
Even when Horner made an out, it was very loud. Well, I'll tell you something. We came very close to having the Cubs on tonight playing the Dodgers. At the same time, the Bears would be playing. And based on my health and my anxiety levels watching these playoff games with the Cubs, I have kind of a silver lining to this defeat. I don't have to put myself through that anymore. Just the Bears. You know what I mean, Paul?
Yeah, just one anxiety at a time. Well, how did you take the loss, Bob? I mean, I was thinking about you because, honestly, as far as Cubs playoff losses go, this one seemed to be, to me, you know, it was easier to take because, you know, they did play fairly well in the, you know, overall in the playoffs.
You know, I was on edge every inning, really.
At the last game, after they lost, did you feel really empty, or did you feel like, oh, well, you know, we had a good season?
I was fine, and I know you've been covering the Cubs for a long time, and you wrote about 1984 recently, but because of my Cub fandom going back all the way to the 60s, I'm well prepared for defeat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, this was nothing near 69, 84,
yeah.
2003.
Right.
You know, this kind of reminded me of 2015, where they had a unexpectedly good year, and then they lost in the playoffs after a little bit of a run there. They lost to the Mets, and you still felt good about going into next year, and obviously they won in 2016. So I think Cub fans should feel optimistic. Hopefully, you know, Jed will take note. I do think the trade deadline was a major factor here. They needed another starter, as Andy said, and they didn't come through. They got, mm-hmm. you know, Michael Soroka, and he really didn't contribute much at all. So, you know, lesson learned. And, you know, sometimes you've got to make some bold moves at the trade deadline, and the Cubs didn't do it.
I'm in recovery. Let's just put it that way.
Your recovery? No.
I'm in recovery, Paul.
Well, good luck with that, Bob.
Good talking to you, and thanks for the analysis during this playoff run. Talk to you again soon.
Okay, guys. Take care.
You too.